Good afternoon and welcome to the last edition of this week's series on integrity on the Grace Hour. I'm Pastor Rinaldo Brown. I'm here with Pastor Shibeli, and we're talking about integrity in the mission. Integrity on the mission field. Integrity in the mission. Very, very key, very, very important, very, very necessary for our witness when we witness the gospel. Our own witness is almost as important in terms of its reflection of the gospel. So we're talking about that today. We'd love for you to tune in with your questions and comments. You can feed you can get involved on the live feeds for YouTube and GraceHour, .org, and also on Facebook. And also you can hopefully subscribe on the podcast as well, so you can kind of keep up with us and follow us. But today we're talking about that. So thank you for joining us and welcome, Pastor Belli.
Good evening, morning, afternoon, midday, whatever it may be. I don't know. Integrity on the mission field. I think this is a great subject. I think we've been involved with missions for like maybe 50 years, maybe more, since missions began with a greater grace. And this is the Grace Hour. I was thinking this, as far as having no integrity on the mission field or no integrity in the ministry, it would begin with a removal from grace. I think that's a very interesting point. Paul said that the Galatian churches had no integrity. He says in Galatians 1:6-10, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. But he talks about there's some who are just perverting the gospel. And though we or an angel messenger from heaven preach unto you any other message other than what you have received, let them be anathema. And it doesn't mean a curse to hell. Some people have mistranslated that, especially people that believe they can lose the Holy Spirit, which is absolutely untrue, that they were removed from the grace of God, from the message of grace, from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. They were just preaching something else. And so that something else doesn't have any integrity. There are messages and gospels out there that are not grace-based, not word of God-based, not finished work-based, and they really have no integrity at all. They really have no truth in them because, you know, integrity could be translated as faithful truth.
Yes.
Okay? So they have no faithful truth in them. And this was the Galatians problem. He actually said they came as far as this, Galatians 3:1, O foolish, anoitos, non-thinking, non-reflecting Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a satanic spell over you? So the devil wants to take away the integrity of the gospel, the integrity of the word, the integrity of grace, the integrity of the message. And we can see this taking place around the world today, where there's a mission out there, and they're out there, and they are born again, but really, is there any integrity? Do they preach the word? 2 Timothy 4:1-5 says, preach, teach, and reach, okay, and do it with the word of God, okay? And there's a time coming when people will depart from these things, and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines that devils teach, 1 Timothy 4:1. So no integrity at all. No integrity, no truth, no faithful truth in the gospel. And it also can lead into having no accountability. People that are out on the mission field, because we're talking about integrity on the mission.
Yes.
People that are out on the mission field and they're doing something other than what they should be doing. Okay. In other words, they're not accountable to their home church or even to the mission board, which I'm always try to figure out what missions board were all about anyway. Missions always began with the church. And I'm not saying that God doesn't use them. I'm just saying that they were not God's plan to have mission boards. Missions was always to come from the church. Just read the book of Acts, if you don't believe me, and just read the book of Romans and Philippians and so many epistles. So not accountability, doing their own thing. Sent to preach the gospel, and they're all just involved with farming. Sent to preach the gospel, all they do is teach English or something. Sent to preach the gospel, and they're doing something other than what they should be doing. No integrity in the missions, no accountability. Doing other things, other things that are not bad, but it just isn't what they've been sent to do.
So
do they have any integrity? And this was so key. If you believe Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15, Luke 24, 47, John chapter 20 and 21, Acts 1, 7 and 8, Acts 9 through 12, Acts 13 and 14, Acts 16 through 20, Acts 27, the word brings integrity. Mm-hmm. The word of God brings integrity. So now I've got the word. Do I believe the word? So when people go contrary to the word, no integrity. When people have the right word of God, the right doctrine, but don't believe, no integrity. Mm-hmm. No integrity. So at all, not accountable. Doing other things. We've seen this on the mission field. And we're not talking about condemning anything mm-hmm. or judging people. We're talking about discerning. Mm-hmm. I've talked with people in Africa since I've been involved with Africa since 1986. We're talking about 38, 39 years. And I met people over there that they don't evangelize. All they're just doing projects, agricultural projects. They're doing projects developing clean water. Those are good things. Mm-hmm. But are they ever telling anybody about salvation? Mm-hmm. So you give them good water to drink, and they haven't got the water of life.
Wow.
And they go to hell healthy. By the way, they go to hell healthy. That's a good statement, isn't it? In other words, people are doing so much to keep people healthy, and that's a good thing if it's something that is an addition to the healthy spirit,
yeah.
really giving people the gospel of grace, how key that is. So integrity in the missions. And when you don't have integrity in the missions, you end up with situations like Demas has forsaken me,
right?
Having loved this present world. Mm-hmm. So he lost his integrity. He became worldly. Mm-hmm. And what happens when the mission becomes worldly? The gospel becomes worldly. It has no integrity. Mm-hmm. It's all about just miracles. It's all about money. It's all about manipulation. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the integrity of the truth of the grace of God and the word of God. So that's how we begin our program today.
Yep.
Okay. With a devotional on having integrity. And I think Paul's at the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach, teach, reach.
Yep.
Preach the word of God, preach the gospel, teach doctrine, and reach people with the mission, with the gospel mission. And right to the end, he had integrity. He had integrity even to the end, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he hasn't lost his integrity, and he's going to die very soon, you know, without a doubt. So how important that is, integrity in the mission.
I like the idea you brought up out of the pastoral epistles that Paul was addressing really with Timothy, integrity.
Yeah.
The integrity of the gospel. I kind of divided two ways. Paul was addressing the integrity of Timothy in the work, and also the work of God in Timothy in mm-hmm. his personal life. And I think that's the two assaults of integrity of a missionary mm-hmm. is that is the work of God in your life. That's the first. And Paul is addressing that in Timothy's life, the work of God in your life, because the reality is, you're isolated. If you're on the mission field, most likely it's a foreign field, foreign from where you were born, perhaps. You're isolated, you're separated, you're alone. In one sense, your life is not so being observed. You're not being watched so much. So the work of God in your life is under assault, and you can have that integrity challenged. Then the second mm-hmm. thing was Paul, Timothy in God's work. And that speaks about me and the mission. That can also be an area of integrity. And that, I've kind of thought about that four ways. That could be character in the moral sense. That could be character in the work ethic sense. There's a lot of lazy missionaries, if I can be honest. There's character in the team sense. Am I divisive? Am I working in integrity with other missionaries? And then there's character in the doctrinal sense, like which is what you were alluding to, like, am I preaching the unadulterated, pure gospel of grace? Have I changed the message and corrupted the mission? When you change the message, you literally corrupt your mission. You're no longer 2 Corinthians 5:20, the ambassador of Christ, but you're a false apostle, if I could use that word, in 2 Corinthians 11. When you have the wrong gospel, you're instantly operating as a false apostle. So as much as on this kind of topic, everybody grabs the low-hanging fruit of morality, yes, that's it, but we didn't go to God, Christ didn't die to improve the morality of the world. Christ died that we would live a spiritual life. Missionaries are not sent to be pictures of morality, though that should be true, but they're there to be pictures of spirituality. Mm-hmm. We're there to plant churches. We're not pilgrims. We're not trying to bring raise the moral standard of a community. We're trying to bring the gospel and bring Christ to a community. So I don't want to just reach for the moral aspect, which is easy to reach for, and it's salacious, and it's also popular to attack that. But how much integrity is lost in the mission that has nothing to do with morality? That has to do with pastors who don't soul win, churches that don't have missions, wrong doctrines that ruin families and ruin lives, missionaries that are on the field that live a life that's not spiritual, who don't have a work ethic, who just sit around and just assume that this is permission to be on a vacation. What about missionaries on the field who are divisive and they attack one another, biting and devouring? That's equally as dangerous as moral failure. Or the ones in worst case, are you go as a missionary, you spread the lies of Satan instead of the truth of God.
Well, I think doing the work of the gospel, but having no gospel work done in you personally.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting thing because people are out there and they're so-called missionaries, but they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in them. Mm. And so they can't, how can they do the work of the gospel without the gospel working in them? It's not possible. It's just become something that is external only, and it's not at all something that's eternal. It's eternal because it's internally working in them. And this can happen where you see people on the mission field, and they're just they're there as a profession. Mm-hmm. They're there just because they. I mean, I couldn't believe some of the stipends that some people get being on the mission field. I remember one time a man told me that he gets $40,000 a year from his mission organization. I'm thinking like $40,000 a year. I get more like $4,000 a year.
What year was that?
That could have been probably in the early 90s.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And even at that time, they were getting massive amounts of
That's
money
close
given
to $100,000 a year today.
Yeah. And I was wondering, and by the way, what are you doing with that money? And I would find some of them living in houses that were way beyond what the actual person who lives in the community in Africa and like, you know, here they are in a one room, no bathroom place. Most of the people that live in many parts of Africa in poverty, they have a room maybe. Mm-hmm. And then here's somebody with a 4-bedroom house, you know. And I could see that if you had about 20 missionaries living in the house. I did have a larger house at one time, but I had like 20 people living there, you know. So what happened to the integrity? And that's why people have maybe even rejected the mission because they've rejected the missionaries who have no integrity. Yeah. And they see that and they see the way they live and how they communicate, you know. And I remember one time I had a man on the mission field with me, and he always had this habit of pulling out large bills, $50 bills, $100 bills. Mm-hmm. I said, stop doing this because people are looking at that, and maybe they make $50 in the course of a month or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're pulling out $50 bills like, you know, like they're nothing. You can just throw them away on anything, you know. And I said, if you don't stop doing that, you're going home.
Wow.
Why? Because you were jeopardizing the integrity of the mission.
Yeah, yeah.
One person could do that. One person on the mission field that's operating outside of God's integrity can cause a lot of damage to the entire mission that's going forth from there. You know, missionaries driving, I mean, people don't have cars in Africa. You know that. You've been there for 25, 30 years, and they don't. But, you know, so I got to be very careful what I drive. Mm-hmm. Very careful what I drive. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm not judging a person that drives a new car or something like that. But I'm saying, because we see people looking, and the devil's tricky.
Yeah.
He says, look at that. Oh, you've become a pastor like him, and you also have a place to live like that, and you'll have a vehicle like that, and you'll have accounts and money. And so all of a sudden, the integrity of the mission is just diluted. It's of no more value. And people just look at it and say, well, who wants missionaries? You know, there's a lot of people in Africa that don't want missionaries coming anymore.
Well, a lot of guys have come in under false pretenses.
Yeah.
I want a missionary, but I'm here to get diamonds, or I'm here to get minerals, or I'm here to do business. I'm a businessman, and I want to use a church visa to get into the country. So now, honestly speaking, now it's harder to get a work permit as a man of God in Africa, for instance, because of that reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes we come in and we want access, but we come with compassion, but we lack character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A question from our audience here, comments. Elizabeth Hogue asks, is it biblical integrity to give people the gospel plus help them with other things if led by God?
If led by God. That's the there's the answer.
If God
is leading, yes, of course we've helped people in Africa on the mission field. We've helped them to maybe help somebody with their rent. Mm-hmm. They were having a difficult time and whatnot, or to help somebody with food, whatever it may be. We do that here. We have a food bank here in Baltimore. So, of course, giving them the gospel, and that's very important, but also the life of the gospel, that they need prayer. They need help in some way. Who knows what it could be? It could be helping them to find a job. It could be financial assistance so they can have something to eat or put shoes on the feet of their children, whatever it may be. So, of course, that's got to be involved in some measure. But when that becomes the only thing that's done, in other words, I'm gonna feed and clothe people and never give them the gospel, so they end up spending eternity outside of God, in eternity lost, and yet they have the shoes and the things they need for this life. Mm-hmm. So you have no integrity. That mission has no integrity. And you see a lot of mission work being done out there without any reference to the gospel.
Yeah.
You can't even believe it.
You, out of compassion,
you
seek to do something for people to create access, right? To get a way in. But the problem is, you want to create access without building credibility.
Right.
Right. And how do you build credibility? You build credibility with the word.
Yes.
But if the word is not the tip of what you're bringing, the credibility is based upon what you bring. So it's you're like a politician. When you bring certain foodstuffs to the village, we like you. I'm voting for you because of what you've brought.
Yeah.
I'll listen to your gospel because of what you've given me. Be careful that you don't get the cart in front of the horse, where you focus much on the ministry of improving someone's life on the exterior when you have a call to minister to the interior.
There's a big problem with that. You know, and of course, we know that there's great needs in many countries, whether it's China or it's Africa or it's India or any place, even America, some really interesting places that need help. But if I just make that the priority and the gospel is not the priority, then what am I doing? Jesus met a woman at a well. He didn't so much talk about her situation in life. He didn't mention it, but he was talking about, I have living water to give you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got living water. You come into this well to get water, but I've got living water. He took her beyond the actual water into the living water. And so she went away and said, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? Mm-hmm. See, he had integrity in his mission.
Sure.
So key, and when you find out about what people are doing, you know, somebody who was very large in the ministry in a certain part of Africa, they found like something like 800 bottles of wine in his basement. You know, so what was he doing? He was giving out the gospel message, but he had a habit of drinking.
Yeah.
So what kind of integrity is that? That you would, you know, and you'd even have that available, or you even maybe even talk about it sometimes in messages, and you would drive people into a whole area of wrong decisions that will cause them to have their life destroyed. You know, no integrity, no integrity. And no, by the way, preaching works is not integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Preaching grace is integrity. You know, so often we see so many people preaching a message, maybe it's external things, miracles, money, provisions, and things like that. But that message doesn't have integrity at all. We're talking about the eternal riches of God's life and the person and them receiving that.
But you can be like, oh, I guess the goal, if you're not careful, on the mission, the goal is to be openly moral. But there's large parts of your life, because you're separated from where you've been sent, that are unaccounted for, your time, your money. Yeah. One area that many missionaries are tempted to not live in integrity is in money.
Yeah.
Two ways. Number one, I'm not being an effective steward with the money that I have and how I manage it.
Yeah.
And then number two, this is going to sound weird, but I'm not a laborer worthy of my hire. I'm getting support to sit at home and go play soccer and to just do I'm getting support to do nothing.
Yeah, you're sitting around watching CNN or something.
Well, you say, okay, I'm on the field. We have 7 days a week. We have church once a week. I counsel 1 hour a week. I soul win for half an hour once in a while. I do a midweek Bible study for 20 minutes. And then after that, I'm just living here.
And then I go back and I tell everybody about what it's like to be a missionary in Africa or in India or something like that when I really do absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no integrity. I've sent people back because they had some of those habits. I say, you know what, you're just better off being back in America because you're not helping here one bit, not at all, you know, and having integrity. And how about people on the mission field? And maybe they're more interested in finding a national wife than they are. Of course, we don't talk about it. All situations, but no, they go there not for the purpose of winning souls, but to win somebody, to find somebody, you know, or whatever it may be.
Or spend my retirement just hanging out, and you know, it's like it's a vacation. That's the word that comes to my mind. It's like I'm on a tour, all the tourist events that are happening, I'm involved with them. You know, like this festival, all these things. If you're not careful, you reproduce after your own kind.
Yeah.
And this is not a message of perfection, but it is a message of consistency and a message of life. I think the word that comes to mind because it keeps coming back is character. And when you think of integrity, you think about character. When you think about character as a believer, it's the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's me walking in the character of God, me being established in 1 Peter 5:10 in the grace of God, me walking in the grace of God, having a grace message and a grace life. You're not going to be a missionary in the mission field and have 100% integrity. But if you walk in the character of God, you have a consistency of a lifestyle that reflects the character of God. God forbid that the ministry is built on your integrity. You should have integrity, but it stands on the integrity of God.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen this in the past, you know, just where people didn't have the word of God, so they had no integrity. They didn't have the grace of God. They had no integrity. They didn't love people. No integrity. They're just there to make a name for themselves or have a reputation. I'm a missionary, or we work in a missionary operation of some type, you know. But really, do they really care? Are they concerned about people? There's the question. Are they concerned about people, or are they just putting up some figures and things that they bring back to their home place and you know, get praised up by people that don't go on the mission field, that wouldn't go on the mission field.
Right.
We thank God that anybody would go for any amount of time.
Okay.
We used to have what we call these amateur tourist missionaries. They come for a month and they say that they were a missionary.
ATMs, you know?
But they're not drawing anything out. They got the wrong card. They go in with the wrong card and they can't get anything out. So they're, thank God, because maybe that's, if somebody does that a short-term time, and it turns out to be something else. That's great. Maybe it even means it turns out to make them a supporter of the work, or they become a person that goes on the mission field for a considerable amount of time, per se. But there's so many people that will go out in a month, and all of a sudden they think, I've done it all, you know, and they go back thinking that they're better than other people, and they've had this great missionary experience, you know. And what did they do? They were looking for McDonald's. They're looking for McDonald's in the Ivory Coast.
Abidjan. Abidjan got Big Macs.
they're looking for something. They're looking for. And by the way, how about the integrity of people? I've seen people go on the mission field and they want to make the place they go to America. In other words, they'll look at all kinds of things that are going on there and criticize the situations and the people. People have been doing the things they've been doing their whole lives, centuries. And so you want to go there and you say, well, we're here to make changes. And the changes are cultural changes.
Mm-hmm.
The changes could be economic changes, business type changes.
Wear this shirt.
Huh?
It's missions 100 years ago. You get dressed like an English gentleman or you're not a Christian.
Right.
So they took South Americans and African Americans and Africans, they put them in, they dressed them like pilgrims basically, said, now you're a Christian.
Based upon how you dress.
Sure.
So we're not going over there to really be involved in that which is external. It can come out that way if it's internal. But we want to see people's characters and lives changed.
Exactly.
This is the key. This is what a mission that has integrity does, is looking to change, see people be changed by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, by the work of God. Otherwise, what's going on out there? Sometimes they end up having more of a poor example than a good example at all. And then people don't really want missionaries anymore. Yeah. It's not like it used to be. People used to love missions, having missionaries come. Now it's like it's almost a take it or leave it thing.
I think part of the reason is what you just said. Also, I think too, the countries now have indigenous guys raised up, so they don't see the need. I hear that a lot too. But let me ask you a question. How do you get refreshed in integrity in the mission? That's a good question. How do, okay, I'm on the mission. I'm in the mission. Wherever God has sent me, I'm a missionary. So I'm on the mission. How do I get refreshed in the integrity of my call?
Well, that's going to have to be the work of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, in other words, like, first of all, do I recognize that I don't have integrity?
Wow.
That's going to be something that's got to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. And maybe I don't even want to know that. Mm-hmm. I want to just live in my lack of integrity and do what I think is important overseas, you know, to edify myself, build myself up, promote myself and whatnot. But do I look at the word of God? What does the word of God say? Am I renewed in the spirit of my mind?
Yes.
So to have integrity come back in into a situation is going to have to be through the word of God and the spirit of God and the grace of God. These three aspects, God's word, God's grace, and God's spirit. Mm-hmm. And if I'm available to that, am I available to that? Do I think that everything I'm doing just because I'm on the mission field is absolutely okay? And I'm here, so whatever I do is amazing.
That's a good point.
You know what? Guess what? That might not be the case at all.
Wow.
You're there, and whatever you are doing, if it's contrary to the Bible or it lacks integrity or it's nothing but passivity, you do more damage than good. Wow. You actually do more damage than good. And that's why there's a lot of countries that really don't care about missionaries coming anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been in them.
Yeah, me too.
I've been there. You've been there. And they're not that interested in that taking place at all. And then sometimes what they watch in the media, that doesn't help them either. You know, they see examples of people that really do not walk with God, and they're preaching gospels that have nothing to do with the truth of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And they look at that and they think to themselves, well, is this what Christianity is all about? You know, if I don't have a large building, if I don't have this, and if I don't have that, if I don't have a car, if I don't have a motorcycle or something, then God is not with me. God's not blessing me. Well, they begin to think the blessing of God is based upon external things, what you have or you don't have, versus the life of Christ.
Well, that's what happened in Botswana. A country of Botswana shut their doors for 3 years. No more missionary permits were being given for 3 years. And they said the reason why is that missionaries from other countries came in their country, swindled people out of money, relationships, and all that kind of everything. And it was such a bad thing. It's a population of under 3 million people as it is. So it doesn't take much.
Yeah, sure.
They came in. Big money, particularly they made a point to say to me, this was said to me about that. They said, particularly the money gospel.
Yeah.
They were just taking money from so many of our people, marrying them, taking the money,
poor people,
children, the whole thing. And they said, no.
That's the end.
It got so crowded, it's so messy. They just shut the door on it, squeezed all the ones that were present, and said, no, we got to get this together. Now they're opening it back up, but you're right.
Yeah.
We, in our desire for access, we really haven't built any credibility. And now many countries don't want missions.
Right.
Foreign missions, they don't want it. Never mind being subversive and going against the government's one thing, but we're considered in league with revolutionaries. We're not straightforward. Why are you here? Well, I'm here to do this, but it's really that.
Yeah.
There's some deceptive practices there. And then they say, as a nation, we don't want that. Why do evil that your good may be seen?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting thought. We've got a few questions here. Oretta Carter says, good morning to our faithful pastors and teachers of God's holy word. Madeline Johnson says, good morning, faithful gentlemen. Oretta Carter, against everything done in this life is to please our Heavenly Father and our merciful great high priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Elizabeth says, when a person is not obviously receiving the message, is it okay? It's okay because we are there to plant seeds and be obedient to God and just give people the gospel message. I would say yes. It's not your job to win people. I think in John 1:12, it's the Holy Spirit that does the initiation. We present the gospel. We're not persuading anybody, really. Sandy Rettmeyer says, good day from Rhode Island. Elizabeth also says, God's provision to us is Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord is God. Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk in high places.
Amen. Like, I like that question there. I don't know if we addressed it now. What does it mean for a missionary to have integrity in the way he manages finances and time?
Yep.
That's important.
All right, we can go back to that. Words,
huh?
We can do that.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Like, so I go on the mission field, and what do I do? I do something two or three times a week.
A schedule.
Yeah, I have a schedule that gives me 8 hours of initiation. And I would see that, you know. In other words, when we went on the mission field, I said, if you're coming on the mission field with me, this is how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to get one day off a week.
Friday,
that was
usually.
Friday, usually, right? That's when we had the grilled cheese sandwiches.
Grilled cheese sandwiches and basketball. Let's go.
Yeah, and basketball. But every other day, it was from morning till evening.
Yeah.
It was Bible school. We taught. We had sometimes 6 or 7 Bible college classes. Mm-hmm. We had soul winning 4 or 5 times a week. Yep. We had visitation in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. It was continuous from early morning when we had prayer,
devotional,
and a devotional, mm-hmm, all the way till at night.
Yeah.
We said, this is how we're going to use the time. Now, I simply say this. If you can't handle this, then stay home. You know, if you can't handle this, stay home. Or tell me what you can do, and we'll see if we can work with it. But all in all, I really felt that we were there and we're being supported by people in the States.
Yeah.
And so we have to have integrity and really go forward in a way that we can have honor before God and realize that these people are supporting us and helping us, and we should use our time and our finances correctly, spiritually, in the right way, so that we don't dishonor those who are supporting us, or God himself, the mission,
yes,
and then the people that personally support us, you know? And that, I think that is so important. You know, somebody asked me one time, like, you don't have a car. I said, so what's the big deal? You know, and I felt at that particular time in the early years of the ministry in Africa, to get a car when no one else in the church had a car was, mm-hmm, not a wise move.
Yeah.
Was not a wise move, you know. So just really handling life correctly, and even in little things, being very careful, mm-hmm, of how we talk, what we say, what we buy, what we do, you know, so that we are not living sky high above a national person that's an average person that's there, that we're not living way above that, and then coming across with this gospel message.
Yeah, it's like, because what you're saying is, I have the gospel and you don't. I have financial success and you don't.
Yeah.
If you get the gospel, you get financial success. Like, I remember, what you said about team members, being on a team and living a certain way. First of all, not living, spending too much and living extravagantly, but living to the means of the people as close as you can to identify, mm-hmm, pop. But, mm-hmm, number two, I would also say this. Whatever support you get, that's God's allowable will. So don't live beyond that. Yeah. I had one of the teams I was leading, I had a team member said, I got to go home. And I said, why? They said, I don't have enough money per month. I said, well, in the history of African missions, we've never sent anybody home because they don't have enough money. So let's talk. Let's look at this. Let's meet. We met. And they said, okay, I get this much every month. I said, okay, then that's what you live on. The mistake you're making is when the team goes out for coffee and danishes, you're going out with them and you're spending like somebody else who has more than you do.
Right.
So you got to be a wise steward of your resources and saying, instead of saying, I need more money, okay, God, help me to have the wisdom to live within the money that I have.
Right. Exactly. That's very important, because maybe somebody's getting more support and they can have a bicycle and you can't.
Yep.
You know, they can have a vehicle and you're not able to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So you just say, I'm going to just trust God for what God has given me, and then operate out of that, and then believe God. If God wants it to go beyond that, he'll supply.
Yeah. That's the integrity. And I also think, I remember in Uganda, my gosh, in the 90s, team members had money for Boda Bodas and I didn't. So I got up in the morning, I left early, and I walked to outreach every morning. And I walked.
What's a Boda Boda? Did you explain it?
I'm sorry about that. That's a little mini bike. It's a motorcycle, like a 100, yeah, maybe 75. So they could afford that, which would get you to town in maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes. I had to walk, so I would walk to outreach. I didn't have, and I was okay. I lived within that, and then I walked back from outreach. I walked to visitation because that's what I had. You have to live within your means. And there's an integrity to that.
Yes.
Because if you're not careful, you sell this idea like, okay, we need $40,000 for a new car. We need all these things. And you put these needs to people when maybe, like you said, God's called you not to have those things. And can I have the integrity to operate in that?
Yeah.
And also, too, with my time. One of the things you have in the mission field, particularly if you're a full-time missionary, you're not doing a job and missions. You're just doing missions. You have large blocks of time.
Yes.
2 hours here, 4 hours there, at times even 6 hours there. You're accountable for, you have to have integrity in what you do with that time. It's okay if you go to the movies, but I'm not going to use that time to take church members to the movies. I didn't fly across the world to take you to the movies. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's certain things as far as what am I initiating and what am I leading the body of Christ into as a missionary?
Yeah, what am I doing with my time? It's very important.
Yeah,
I look at it like this. Okay, let's say you have 168 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Take away the sleep time and whatnot. And what do we do with our time? That's a very important question, you know? And I think people misuse time,
mm-hmm.
especially the age that we live in now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very interesting, you know, how time is misused and not spending time with God,
mm-hmm.
time in the Word, you know, time in evangelism, time mm-hmm. in whatever. How do I use my time?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be accountable for that.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it. I'm going to be accountable for how I operate in my daily schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
people don't like to go near that. No, no. I got my believer priesthood rights. Leave that alone. Don't touch right. that. You know, I can walk with God. Yeah, your walking with God is very interesting. You're walking about 3 hours a day. And that's about it. You know, and that's fine. And you're getting paid. If I find people in my office, okay, as a person that oversees an office here, if I find people that I find are late, and I don't have any lazy people, but if I did, I would address it. Oh, I would address it very creatively and say, so what are you doing? Like, and why would I need you here? You know, what's going on here anyway, you know?
Well, let's piggyback that. How do I refresh practically integrity in my mission? Well, I have to ask myself the question, why am I here?
Yeah.
Now, why did I pack up my things and move 40 miles, 400 miles, 4,000 miles? Why am I here? Because when you keep purpose in front of you, it brings in the integrity of that purpose. Like, why am I yeah. here? Like, you come to work. Why am I here? If you can't answer that question.
The why.
Yeah. If you don't know the why, if you don't know your why, your how has no purpose to it. You'd even be familiar in the how. Why? I don't know. I
that's an important question. Like, why did he give his only begotten son? Because
mm-hmm.
why? He so loved the world.
There it is.
Without the why, you know, and so many people are doing things with the wrong why. In other words, I'm doing this because I want everybody to know I'm a missionary. I want to have the popularity and the proclaiming of that person does mission work.
The romantic part,
yeah,
right?
The romantic part.
I mean,
of it,
the missionaries are like the superstars because you know it's like you're giving them. Yeah. There, don't get me wrong. There is a measure of incredibleness to leave your home country and your home life and move into someone else's culture and home. There is a certain amount of uniqueness about that. I want to say it's unique. I'm not going to say it's more valued.
It's unique. It's different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Questions here. Dave Norwood says, the finished work, the only message that seems too good to be true, but is, it must shock people on the mission field. Absolutely, David. Whenever we do a wedding or a funeral or anything, any kind of event, and a greater grace missionary gets up to speak, the first question they ask afterwards is always, what church do you go to? I've never heard that at a funeral or a message of mine. They've never mm-hmm. heard the finished work. It is a rare, rare message.
Because the devil is the author of the works gospel.
Yeah.
So he keeps people, he blinds people's minds to the glorious gospel.
Mm.
It's so key. And by the way, those messages have no integrity because God is not in them. See, some people think, oh, well, they're not preaching the right gospel, but no, the word's getting out. No, it's not. It's something, it's a false gospel.
Yeah.
And Paul didn't say, I'm very happy that the Judaizers are bringing the word out. He said, let them be accursed.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, there's no integrity in the gospel that they bring. At all. And we find this in so many places. And I don't want to be a part of a gospel that has no integrity.
Wow.
No personal walk behind it, you know. In other words, it's for me to preach the gospel of grace but not live by grace.
Another question from Lion here. Elizabeth Hoke says, is it a good practice in your home country to learn to live with much less like you'd live with a target mission field? I would say spiritual minimalism. I know there's a kind of an indirect kind of a cultural statement that a lot of missionaries say, live like you could leave tomorrow, Elizabeth. Some of us think like that, like I can drop everything in a dime, walk out of everything I'm into, and be gone in a week. That's not – many people live that way, and I like that kind of – personally speaking, I like that kind of preface. I feel like the more entangled you become with where you are – if you're called to missions, the harder it is for you to go on a mission unless God is calling you to be right where you are. I've seen guys, and then I'll let Pastor Billy answer this. I've seen guys say, okay, I'm going to go on a mission field. And they go buy a new house. They go buy a car. They go get $100,000 in debt.
And they can't.
And then they say, well, you know, PR, I'm just going to have to just, God, God didn't open the door. No, you put all the furniture in front of the door, and that's why you couldn't get through the door. You moved the refrigerator. You moved the sofa. Hey,
everything's in front of the door.
I see the open door, but there's all this lawn furniture. You know, I can't get through.
Well, yeah. Everybody has every excuse that you can think of.
Yeah.
You know, I like what Pastor Stevens wants to define excuse as a begging off in your imagined self-interest.
Wow.
Paratomai is an interesting word. Begging off, mm-hmm. excuse me,
yeah.
in my imagined self-interest, mm. you know? And so really, that's why missions has gone down.
Yeah.
American missions has gone down.
Yeah.
From it used to be like something like 80,000 missionaries has gone down to something like 45,000 mm-hmm. or so because, oh no, they can watch the television. They can get it on YouTube. They
internet.
Can get it on, internet. No. I think the Bible is very important to be spoken to face to face. You know, that's why we evangelize. That's why we go out on evangelism mm-hmm. and we speak to people. Yeah, that's integrity. Integrity. I would say a church that doesn't evangelize has no integrity.
Wow.
Point blank. You don't like that statement? Come and talk to me about it. A church that doesn't evangelize has no integrity. Why? Mm. They don't care. Because integrity is faithful truth, and they don't really believe the gospel that people are lost. And otherwise, they would go out.
That's got to be the question I'm asking myself. Let's go back to the origin question. Why am I here? Okay, yeah. Wherever God has me, why am I here? Is it by my own choosing? Luck? Chance? Cultural familiar background? Why am I here?
Eternal purpose.
There it is. Right and there, what is the eternal purpose? Drum roll, please.
Glorify God.
Thank you.
And how do you glorify God? Two things. You win the loss and you make disciples. That's it.
That's not
what goes on in Christianity today. It's not what's taking place, you know.
Even missions for that.
Even missions. Why am I on the mission field? I'm on the mission field to taste new foods. I'm on the mission field to, you know, experience, have some brand new experience.
Bucket list?
Yeah, my bucket, fulfill my bucket list.
Oh, gosh.
And it's really interesting, you know. And you talk about places, and there are so many places where people haven't been. People have this idea that the whole world is evangelized. They're out of their minds. No, you haven't got any clue to what you're talking about. The whole world is not evangelized. You know, country after country, city after city, where people have not personally been missionaries to. There's many Islamic countries
sure.
where nobody has gone to. I can name you tons of them. I won't right now. But there's many places. Think about this. There's 1.3 billion Buddhists. Mm-hmm. There's 1.5 million Muslims. Okay. There's Orthodox people. You're talking about another 2 billion Orthodox people, okay. including some major religions, you know. So people are lost.
Yeah.
I wonder, do people understand that people are lost? I don't think so.
I think there is this mindset, Pastor Billy, that people assume that with the advance of modernism, that has also been the advance of the gospel.
Yeah.
And many corners of the world have gotten more modern, but not more spiritual, right?
Yeah.
So, those guys have their books, they have schools. Okay, that's not to assume that they have the gospel.
Exactly.
I think the reason why we've kind of thought like, we can relax because the world is more modern. Everyone doesn't live in a hut. They don't live in a swamp. Okay, fine. Then now that they've got paper and they wear clothes, obviously they're saved. Obviously they're Christian. The need to go spread the gospel is no longer relevant.
Right. It's not relevant.
Wow.
He must needs go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer relevant because people have in their own mind played it down to a place where they can really be comfortable mm-hmm. and not be convicted.
Wow.
So that, you know, in other words, like there's really no need for the gospel, so I'm doing nothing wrong at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not true.
Wow.
That's not true at all, that there's a great need for the gospel and to just witness to people. I want to put a plug in because we're coming down to the end for tonight's class. You're welcome to come tonight, Friday night, 6025 Meravia Park Drive, between 6 and 8 o'clock. We're having a class on 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to talk about the last days and perilous times. We're going to talk about 26 aspects of man's character without God. We're going to talk about what it means to make it fully known. It's mentioned many times. We're going to talk about continuing in what you've learned, the scriptures that make you a man of God.
Okay.
So you're welcome to come.
Come on down for that. And also this weekend is couples getaway. If you're engaged, if you're dating, I believe, or married, come on down tonight as well. Simultaneously, you actually have multiple things happening at 6025 Brevity Park Drive today. Come on down, be a part of it. You can go to GGOW.org and register and be a part of this. It's all day Saturday and tonight, our couples getaway. And next week, we're focusing on prayer next week. If you want to revolutionize and vitalize your prayer life, next week, tune into the Grace Hour. The entire week is focused on great prayer warriors. There'll be prayer on the property here at 6025 throughout the day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There'll be word, praise and prayer at night. And also our services starting with Sunday at 9, 11, and 6:30 and 7 o'clock on Wednesday. See you then. God bless you. Have a great, great, godly weekend.